This is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 205 in a series of 260 programs dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years. We follow the same format as the great Frankfurt Simmons, so we call the series Where Fitz Left Off. This week, we've been highlighting some of the very strong and prominent people that made big contributions to the success of the station. And in many cases, each person became a liaison with the station and the community in major activities. Today, living and dead, names remembered from their service on our staff, both living and dead. In checking the known deceased of former staff members, I can vividly recall 22 persons. Four of them were in ownership, the Honorable Monroe M. Redden, Bill Edgerton, Clarence E. Morgan, and Bevo Middleton. On the announced staff, standing head and shoulders way out in front, was the little old man, Charlie Renfro, who did sports, was the morning man, and nothing short of being a brother to me in our 35-year association together. O.M. Marty Morgan, he was associated with us in so many different ways, radio, cable, agency work, and he was my right arm in a special campaign when he died unexpectedly awfully young. Most of you won't remember Tom Edgerton, who was known as the inhabitant of Uncle Tom's Cabin, which was what our tiny studios were known as in the old Bowen Hotel building back in 1947. Bill Riley also worked there, as in that same period did Frank Lawrence, who also died tragically young. For many, many years, our night man was Irvin Price, the old man of the mountain, who had a record collection bigger than the station's. And he always brought his own records with him, which made his loyal devotees of the Sweet and Swing ecstatic. I did a feature on Joe Kuykendall on Tuesday, and earlier this year I did one on our English news director, Frank Hawkins. Cactus Pete Williams did sports announcing, and I think must have worked for at least 40 different radio stations before he finally settled down with us for almost 5 years, the longest period he would stay at any one place in his entire life. In the sales department in those early years at WHKP, everybody knew Reg Hill, our sales manager whose deep bass voice complemented the house gospel group, the Mellotone Quartet. Also in sales was John Horton, brother of our friend Harry, who, as we said earlier, left us to join Eddie Lowe as head of a new sports division in New York. In the office, there was Don Gilmore, who also was executive director of United Way. There were Laura Green, Dottie Tebbin, Susan Sullivan, and Florence Peters. In engineering, in the earliest years, was Cliff Enman. He left us to join the Voice of America. Depending on the activities of the company at any given time, our staff numbered, anywhere from 10 to 25 people at a time. I can remember most of the names of the announcers, the salespeople, the engineers, the bookkeepers, the newspeople, the office staff, or at least let me say I can remember more than 50 who are still living that we know of. Jim Northington, I always fondly referred to him as J. Worthington Northington. He was one of our first announcers and today operates the theater in the Scotland Hotel building. Bob McGarrity was on the original staff in 1946, and during my recent recuperation he called me. He's retired, lives in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Doug Brooks, who had perhaps the greatest God-given voice of any announcer who ever worked for us, and running second to Doug would have been Ken Garland. Carver Hill, son of Red Hill, was the smartest staff member we ever had, and it wouldn't surprise me with his genius in computers if he owned Silicon Valley. Chuck Gaines, who had built a career and retired from his own station in Georgia, joined us and worked with me on the morning show during the terminal years of Charlie Renfro. Chuck and Mitzi still live out toward Cathead. Dave Brown. Dave worked for us on the night shift for more than 20 years. David Bivens joined the staff from Tryon. And then Tony Angel, who also sang with his family gospel group, the Angel Family Singers. I always loved that name. The Angel Family Singers, starring Tony Angel. There was Alan Reese, who also doubled as news director and a very recent member of our staff. Jan Huggins, who would serve in the Navy, if I remember. Ken Burke, Carol Farmer, Don Munson, who did both announce and sports, Rick Wilson, John Brooks, Rita Case, Smiling Jim McCauley, who handled our bingo games in cable and later sang with the Kingsmen Quartet. Serving as news directors were Kim Kapler, Emily Swearingen, Jenny Irvin, and the most popular public affairs director the station ever had, Larry Freeman, who is still very much alive but in poor health. In sales, we had Nancy McKinley, one of the most innovative people who ever worked for us. Bob Smith was in sales way back there, went to WSPA and retired from that station a number of years ago. Frank Hartley found he could do much better moving from radio to savings and loan companies. He's done well. We had Powers English, Carolyn Swanner, Sylvia Ducote, Sean Lee, Kathy Honeycutt, Alan Bridgman, Meg Penny. I don't know where Bob Amos is today. As far as I know, he's still alive. He was the station's second manager, and the last I heard, he was with Kenyon and Eckhart. Some of the early engineers, Les Graddick, who became involved in ownership of a number of stations in Georgia, he's done quite well by himself. Bill Pierce, who became a lawyer, John Welch, and Mike Edney, who is with the county school system now. Dating back to the early years, there was Gene Mace, Francis Reese, Grace Flynn Smith, Henrietta Hensley, who married Hal Sain. Also back in the 40s in the office was Marilyn Bennett, Jane Moorhead. Then came Betty Jean Lee, who's at First Citizens Bank, Linda Hill Carland, who is now with Edward Jones and Company, Charlotte Bertram, Pat Houck, now with Emoco, Sarah Presley at Presley's Tops, Villa Orr, Wanda Flavel, Norma Miller Winters, Elsie Levi, Gwen Thornburg. And in Building and Grounds, we had Lamar Owens, Gene Justice, Lem Barnwell, and Larry Hall. With our current staff, that's close to 100 people living and dead that I've been associated with here at the station over the past 50 years. I remember some more vividly than others, as is always the case for an old man, but I do recall nobody was ever referred to here as an employee. They were staff members. And Art nor I ever ask anyone on the staff to do anything that we would not do ourselves. There's a warm feeling of friendship for all of these people that envelopes these memories of them. And for this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here in the good sense never to leave with the job he's loved all his life, sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.